We want to talk about today normalizing the abnormal, okay? And I guess in some way we could say that all of us are a little abnormal, so we all need to be normalized to some degree. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 13. Now, for those of you that were listening to the Torah portion, it was a little gruesome, talking about blotches and weird skin afflictions and so forth, and unless you're in the medical field, it gets a little, you know, queasy. And in fact, this whole portion, really from 12 through 15, it's a little bit strange. You know, this has got to be one of the most peculiar passages of the Bible because of all this stuff about, you know, oozing skin or leprosy and what you're supposed to do. And, you know, it gets a little kind of gory, and then it seems a little extreme about the reactions and so on. And so we want to explore it a little bit here, and we're going to see some interesting things. So Leviticus 13, verse 1 says this: "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'When anyone has a swelling or a rash or a bright spot on his skin that may become an infectious skin disease, he must be brought to Aaron, the priest, or to one of the sons who is a priest. The priest is to examine the sore on the skin, and if the hair in the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be more than skin deep, it is, in Hebrew, tsa'arat, and that has been defined in a number of different ways. And in your Bibles, they're going to all be different. Some are going to say leprosy. Some are going to say infectious skin diseases. Some are going to say, you know, who knows. But it's, in Hebrew, it's one word, tsa'arat. And then it says the priest... And when the priest examines him, he shall pronounce him ceremonially unclean. Now, these chapters here discuss how the priest knows what is this, in what we'll call it as an infectious skin disease, okay, and what to do. And again, the question is what is this thing? That now, traditionally, it has been defined as leprosy, and those of you that remember, like Ben-Hur or some of the other old classical movies, you'll see people that have leprosy and they're in these leper colonies and so on. But in the more modern era, they've actually concluded that it was probably a broader category than leprosy. It probably involved any kind of skin disease, which would maybe be today's things like eczema or psoriasis or whatever. And it would probably include leprosy as well. But what the deal is here is it's pretty extreme. When you read through all this, you know, the priest goes through this long examination process, tries to figure out what this thing is. You know, then if they determine that it really is this bad thing, then the people are really excluded from the community completely. And interestingly, in the scriptures, this is the only disease that is handled like this. I mean, there all the other major diseases that would be common in that era, which would be similar to today, there's no mention of them whatsoever as to how to handle it. But this is the one thing, and the question is why. And in fact, as you read a little further, this affliction doesn't just afflict people, but it also afflicts materials and walls. And once, you know, even if the wall of a dwelling gets this kind of weird thing on it, which would probably be like mildew or something, then they go through this elaborate thing of determining whether it really is, and then they have to destroy the house. And, I mean, it's kind of wild. I mean, you know, here in Richmond, if you had to destroy your house for mildew, we'd all be out in the streets. I mean, basically. I mean, that's kind of the result. So it's a little odd. And the question is why? Why does the scripture focus on this particular issue, and why such an extreme response? And the answer is this: it's a way of understanding the ancient world and how they perceived human life, and what they saw, what they believed, and it's true, is that our body is the container of the soul and the spirit. And that if the body, and what it was believed is if the body begins to disintegrate or deteriorate away, like through some kind of skin infection or whatever, is that what's happening is the spirit that's being held by the body, the spirit and the soul, are being like released. And in other words, it's the idea here that this affliction is considered potential death. In other words, it's like a death wish. It's the body showing that it's the beginning of death. And suddenly there's this eruption of life out of it. Now, of course, we know in the modern era, certainly with skin afflictions, that it does not portend death in most situations. Now, leprosy might, but these other ones aren't. But this is what was believed at the time. And the question is, now, what are they to do with this? And here's the issue. Israel was a chosen nation of the Lord. It was a holy nation, holy and separate from everyone else. And Israel was instructed to keep the holy and the secular apart in every sense. All of life's activities, including eating. In other words, there were clean and unclean foods, and everything was to be kept separate because Israel was supposed to be shown as a different nation. And then within this separate holy nation, the Lord resides in the Mishkan, in the dwelling place, okay, where he dwells, in the midst of his people. And God himself is the life giver. And if you remember from the book of Genesis, that a body is formed out of the dust of the earth, and then the Lord breathes into the body, and out comes a human life. So God is a life giver, but if the body is disintegrating and life is being removed, then that individual who has this so-called plague of death about them has to be segregated. Now, with the onset of Tzaraat, with a deterioration of the body going on, and as I said, death, in their eyes, death is approaching. So the person who has this affliction is immediately isolated from the camp, from the community. And it's not that the community was feared contamination of the disease. That wasn't it. What they feared was the contamination of the impurity of death approaching, because the whole idea of death and life are so separate in the kingdom of God that if there's this kind of like fear of death coming, that person has to be removed away so that death would not consume the community. That's the reason that the people responded the way they did. And it's a little bit similar in the scripture to the story of Korah, which we find later in the book of Numbers, where he and a group of priests rebel against Moses. And the Lord speaks through Moses, and he says to the people, as he's kind of competing with Moses for who has the true authority. And Moses says to the people, step back. In other words, step away from them, because the judgment of the Lord is ready to fall. In other words, they had to be isolated away from the community because of the fear that death would suddenly consume the whole community. And if you remember the scripture, everybody pulls back, and suddenly the judgment of God hits Korah and his family and those who are related, and the earth opens, and boom, down goes Korah and so on. The key is not being contaminated by the sin or the affliction. Now let's look at the consequences of the finding of Tzaraat in the community. Of course, you're probably all wondering, well, what's this got to do with me? You know, does that mean if I break out with a little eczema here, everybody's going to like banish me from the synagogue, okay? Well, maybe, but no kidding. But let's look at Leviticus 13, verse 45, and let's see what happens to somebody when they discover this Tzaraat, okay? This is what it says. 13:45, Leviticus 13, it says, the person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. And as long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp. Now notice what this person must do if they determine that there's this infectious skin disease. The scripture says here that he's got to tear his clothes, he's got to keep his hair disheveled, and he's got to cover his lower part of his face. And what these are signs of mourning. These are the signs of death. This is what happens when somebody dies. You rent your clothes, you keep your hair uncovered, and so on like this. Because the whole idea is that death is approaching, and so it's a very serious issue. And then notice what happens next to this poor guy. There's like a public separation. The person literally, I mean, put yourself in this guy's shoes. Here's this guy, which, you know, he hasn't really done anything wrong. He's just gotten an affliction. And suddenly, you know, he's got to be publicly separated, humiliated in a sense. He has to live alone outside of the community where the Lord is. And then anytime he gets anywhere near the community, he's got to yell out, unclean, unclean, so everybody knows that he's the problem. And this is very similar, tragically, for the punishment of severe sin. Because if somebody severely sins in the community of Israel, they were expelled from the camp, of course, for good. In this case, it's not expelled necessarily for good. It's expelled when the person supposedly is healed, if they are. There's a story. Turn with me over to Numbers chapter 12, because we see it again here in Numbers. Numbers chapter 12. This is the story of Miriam and Aaron, who decide to challenge Moses over a couple of issues. They're challenging Moses, one, over who he married, because he married a Cushite woman, which was largely somebody from the African race. And secondly, is that they challenge Moses over his own authority, over, you know, why should he have this kind of elevated status, this privileged status before the Lord? And Moses, Miriam, and Aaron are thinking, you know, why don't I get in on the action? What's the story with Moses? Why does he get all the goodies? And so let's see what happens here after the challenge is made to Moses. This is Numbers 12, verse 9. It says, "The anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. And when the cloud lifted from above the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous like snow. Aaron turned to her and saw that she had leprosy, and he said to Moses, 'Please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb.'" A stillborn infant is someone who's dead, okay? In other words, they're regarding her as like she's dead once she hits leprosy, with its flesh half eaten away. So Moses cried out to the Lord, "Oh God, please heal her." And the Lord replied to Moses, "If her father had spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back." So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move until she was brought back. And then, of course, the Lord has healed her of the disease. But the point is the tremendous consequences of these skin diseases and leprosy with respect to the individuals and the whole community. It was a very, very serious thing. The role of the priests during this period were not healers. They were simply protectors of the community. The person really was left in God's hands. You know, they were outside the camp. They had to live alone. You know, it was either the Lord was going to supernaturally touch them or, you know, that's their life. It's kind of a tough life. And if they're healed, they're restored to the community. And so the reality is this. The people who suffered with these kinds of illnesses lived lonely, empty lives. They were treated literally as the living dead. That's what the reality was for these poor people. And there's a lot, and again, these are, by and large, these were not people who had done really anything wrong. They simply got afflicted with whatever this thing was. Now, Yeshua comes along, and of course, we've talked about this many times. His goal was to make Israel holy, is to enable her to fulfill her destiny in God. But the problem is this, is that Israel is full of sick and hurting people, including lepers. That's pretty clear from the New Testament. In Yeshua's early ministry, he gets up on the mountain, which is known, of course, as the Sermon on the Mount. And on the mountain, that's where he raises the standards for all the people of God, for all the Jewish people and all of Israel, all the people of God. He raises, and he says to the people, and we remember it on the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." He's raising their standards and just saying, giving them a vision of who they are and a destiny and a goal. But what about if you were a leper? In other words, let's say you were listening from afar to Yeshua, and you're hearing all these wonderful words of who you are and all that you can be, and you know that you're stuck. You can't. There's no way that you can ever become that kind of person that the Lord was speaking about. So what do you do? Turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8. Matthew chapter 8. We want to look at verse 1. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, says this. "When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him." Now, this is the mountain that Yeshua had just finished preaching the Sermon on the Mount. In other words, this is one of the greatest messages ever given. We all remember Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech back in the early 60s. Well, this far surpassed that. In fact, Martin Luther got some of his message from this text, okay, about a city set on a hill and so on and so forth. And so this is one of the greatest messages ever. All these crowds, thousands of people are around Yeshua. And as he comes down, there's large crowds following him. And look what it says in verse 2. "A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.'" Now, We need to interpolate a little bit here because this it doesn't say this in the text. But when we put into context our understanding of how lepers were treated during those days, you can imagine, here's Yeshua coming down from the mountain. There's crowds all around him, and all of a sudden, a leper comes in, probably having to cry out, unclean, unclean. That's what was required by the law. And so you can imagine the crowds part just like this to get away from this leper. And then he comes to the holy man who's not allowed to at all be contaminated by this kind of affliction. But let's see what happens next. Verse 3. Yeshua reached out his hand and touched the man, said, "I am willing." He said, "Be clean," and immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Yeshua could have spoken at a distance. He could have seen the man, afraid, not afraid personally, but afraid of maybe the reaction of the crowd, afraid of maybe the affliction spreading to others, and he could have said, "Hold it," you know, and he could have said, "Be clean," from a distance. They would have done the same thing. I mean, Yeshua often healed simply by the words of his mouth. He spoke the word, boop, people were healed just like that. He could have done that here. And in fact, there is a story in the scriptures about a person with leprosy who was healed from a distance. And it's the story of Elisha the prophet and Naaman, the Syrian general. And if you remember that story, Syrians were attacking Israel during this period. And here was and there was a servant girl, an Israeli servant girl, who'd been captured by the Syrians. And the great Syrian general, whose name was Naaman, had leprosy. And so the servant girl said, "You know, there's somebody in Israel, a prophet, who could probably heal you." And so he gets all excited. He tells the king. The king sends a message to the king of Israel, says, "Heal the leper." King of Israel, who's not even a believer, freaking out. "What are they trying to set up with me? How can I heal a leper?" But Elisha the prophet, of course, hears him. Hears about the message. Says, "Send the guy to me." So Naaman comes in with the contingency of soldiers right up to Elisha's house. And you know what the scripture says? Elisha never even comes out of the door. He simply sends his messenger out, tells Naaman, "Go dunk yourself in the Jordan River 7 times, you're going to be healed." Of course, Naaman gets all frustrated because he was like figuring that, you know, he's a great general and the prophet should come out and do some kind of hocus pocus or whatever. And so Naaman gets ticked off and gets offended and leaves. But then some of his assistants said, "Look, you know, do it anyway. See what happens." And sure enough, we know the story. Naaman dunks himself in the Jordan River 7 times and is supernaturally healed by God. The point of that is that Elisha, for whatever reason, didn't come near the leper. Now, he probably could have, but he didn't. Same with Yeshua. He could have done the same thing. Far more power than Elisha had. Yeshua could have kept him at a distance, but notice what the scripture says. He reaches out and touches the man, touches this leper who's not even allowed to be around anybody, and he touches him and says, "You're healed. I'm willing, be clean." And what is he saying to this guy other than the fact that he's bringing him healing? He's saying, "Look, I'm accepting you. You've been rejected by everybody, but I'm accepting you. It doesn't really matter." That's what it is. And instead of the disease contaminating Yeshua, it's the opposite. Because this is what the scriptures say in the book of Romans. It says this, that the law of the Spirit of life in Yeshua the Messiah has set you free from the law of sin and death. And in fact, I want us to repeat this, and because this is such a key to living with God. I want you to repeat this line with me. The law of the Spirit of life in Yeshua the Messiah, the law of the Spirit of life in Yeshua the Messiah has set you free from the law of sin and death. Has set you free from the law of sin and death. You see, Yeshua was showing that his life overcomes sin and death. It thwarts it, and he receives those who have been literally condemned to death. Because this leper was a goner. He was not going to be allowed to be anywhere in the community, anywhere near the community, unless he was healed. And these people were not healed. They were never healed. But Yeshua healed them because it was the Spirit of life that came through him. You see, Yeshua was a priest, not just the protector of the community like the other priests, but he was a restorer of individual life. He restored the lost, the broken, the hurting, and so forth. That's what Yeshua came to do. And he was able to fulfill the destiny of someone who had no destiny left. This person was finished. It was as if they had received the death sentence from court and there was no further appeals. This person was done for. Yeshua turns it around and fulfills their destiny from right there. Now I want to say this to you as I'm closing. There's some of you in here that I know are enduring some trials and some sicknesses and whatever in your life, and you're wondering, why me? Where's the Lord in this middle of this situation? And I just want to say that similar to the leper, what has happened to you is not necessarily connected to your behavior, okay? In other words, it's not connected necessarily to sin. Sometimes we think, well, what have I done wrong to warrant what has happened to me? I don't understand. Where are the promises of God? Where's the hope? Where's the future? Things aren't going right. What's happening here? And it's very similar to the when Yeshua met up with this blind man in the book of John, and the disciples said to him, you know, what's going on with this guy? Did he sin, or did his parents sin? What's going on? He said, no. This man is here to reveal the glory of God. And then Yeshua healed that man and showed the glory of God. I just want to say this to you, if you're suffering, struggling, and so on. The Lord wants to deliver you to show you His glory and to show those around about you His glory. It's not why me. It's the reality of life. We live in a world where there is leprosy or AIDS or varieties of sicknesses or unemployment or whatever it might be, or death. We live in that kind of world. That's just the reality of the world that we're in. But Yeshua gives us hope when there's no hope. He's able to restore when there's a death sentence on your life or when you're apparently experiencing death. He still gives hope. He's able to undo the law of death, which is the most final, it's the ultimate law. It's the final law. It's no one escapes from death except for Yeshua. And He promises to change that sentence of death or that suffering or whatever it is for you. If you're in the condition of the leper today, of the person who was cast off, who has no hope, and you've heard the words, it's like you're listening to the words of me like the leper was listening to Yeshua, and suddenly something happened in that leper's heart to cause them to try to push into the crowd. Now, the crowd could have said, no way, you're not getting near him. The disciples could have blocked the way. Anything could have happened. The leper was taking a risk by even approaching Yeshua. He could have been rejected by Yeshua. There was no guarantees. But what he heard in Yeshua's words was there was hope. There was a future for this guy. There was something that could undo the sentence of death that this person was experiencing. And if you're there today, and those words are piercing your heart, I just want us to turn to the Lord right now. You reach out, make that connection with God. Let Yeshua put the hope and the restoration of life back into you, and you'll see, I guarantee it, you will see God come through for you like He did for that leper. Let's pray. Father, I just pray for each and every person in this room, Lord, especially those, Lord, who can relate to this poor leper, Lord, who was living a life of separation, isolation, suffering, Lord God, disillusionment and discouragement with no hope for any future. But Lord, on that one day, everything for this man changed forever. And Lord, I believe You want to do the same thing for us in this room today, Lord. Father, I believe You want to change the direction of some lives here, Lord. You want to put hope back into hopeless hearts, Lord God, and raise us up. And I just pray right now that each person, any person in that condition, would just say, yes to Yeshua. Yes, Lord, I need that touch. I need to be touched like the leper was touched by the hand of Yeshua. I need that touch today in the name of Yeshua. And just let the Lord touch you by the power of His Spirit and do something for you today that's going to change your life, oh God. Thank You, Lord. Father, just minister Your life to each person right now in the name of Yeshua, Lord. And we receive the hope that's in us because we know it says in Your Word that the law of the Spirit of life in the Messiah Yeshua has set us free from the law of sin and death, oh God. That's our hope. That's our future, Lord. And we receive that right now in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.